Before I start, I want to quickly ask, how many people are familiar with the saying, a thorn in my side? Getting a lot of nodding. Some people maybe heard of it. I ask because it's really not often used anymore. It's one of those sayings, I think maybe people kind of heard of it, but when's the last time you actually heard someone use that saying, a thorn in my side? Man, that coworker is a thorn in my side. He won't leave me alone. Let me do my work. You know, that neighbor's just a thorn in my side. All he does is blow his leaves over to my side of the yard. You know, it just sounds like an odd way to talk. And when you hear the saying, just thorn in my side, I always think it sounds harsh, really. But the truth is, the saying comes from that idea of a thorn in my side, a small irritation that just stays there and bugs you. It's not a huge thing. It's not a gaping wound. It's just a thorn, an irritation. But it won't go away. Our passage today is actually where that saying comes from. A saying, a thorn in my side, has its roots from Paul in this passage where he says, a thorn in my side. And so we're going to look at that passage, at that saying, and what Paul meant by it. Because a thorn in the side, or as Paul said, a thorn in the flesh, they're the same saying, really is any affliction in our lives that if we aren't careful, if we don't deal with it, can defeat us with a good dose of self-pity and can actually embitter us toward God. The thorn in our side can eat away at our confidence, at our self-worth, at our confidence in the Lord leading our life. But it's an important thing to know is that our thorns, whatever they may be, are Satan's desire to defeat us and not God. And that today we're going to be looking at how God can use thorns to actually benefit us. So the thorn in the side comes from this passage. And when we look at it, the first question that I'm sure comes out is when Paul says, I was given a thorn in my flesh, what is he talking about? You know, we always like details. I hear statements like this. I go, what is he talking about? And there's a lot of different theories what Paul is talking about when he talks about, I was given a thorn in my flesh. Some theologians ponder that he was talking about a physical pain, an actual thing that would affect his ability to work. Some say it was a pain in the ear or a head, like a ringing in the ears. There's a name for that. I'm forgetting it off the top of my head. Tinnitus, thank you. So that he might have had something like that. There's some evidence to show him suffering from an ear condition. In the medieval times especially, they thought maybe it was unruly, lustful desires. They seemed to have that focus on that kind of thing in that historical period. They thought he was tempted a lot, because Paul talked about how he was tempted a lot. He also is known to have a speech impediment, and maybe that's what was causing him to have a thorn. Some say he had malarial fever. Others point to eye problems, probably brought on by that vision he was given, and he was made blind for a number of days. Maybe there was some leftover effect when God made him blind. There's even the thought, when they talk about that, it's all those struggles he was facing, those thorns in my side, are that list we just heard of. You know, I've been sent to prison. I've been drowned at sea pretty much. A couple times he was knocked off a ship. I've been persecuted by this person and that person. No matter where I go, I seem to face people who just want to hurt and get rid of me. That no matter how often he tried to do God's work, there were always people opposing him. They were just a thorn in his side. All these different reasons for what this thorn could be, but the truth is, they're all guesses. You know, there's some evidence to point. You can look at the language, how he uses this. But each one of these different reasons, I could take out this long list of this is why they thought this, this is why they thought this, and it can quickly become into a whole chapter of just all the evidence. But the truth is, none of them are any greater than any other one. And you're left thinking, well, we just can't know what the thorn is. And maybe that's on purpose. I think that very purposeful why Paul didn't say, I was given a thorn in my side and it was this. No, he left it ambiguous on purpose. Because the point is, it's not about what the thorn was, but it was about Paul's reaction to the thorn. That was what he was talking about, and that's the lesson we can learn from this passage. And the fact that we don't know can even make it easier for us to relate with Paul. Because we don't have to think of that thorn of anything specific. You can think of it of any one of those things on the list, or anything you might be suffering in your own life. And it fits fine as being that thorn in the side. Because the truth is, we all have some thorns in our flesh, something that we struggle with, that we don't like about ourselves, that we wish we didn't have to deal with anymore. And that's where Paul could be a good example how we can learn to react to those things in our lives and about ourselves that we just don't like, that irritate us, those thorns in our flesh. So let's look at Paul's reaction. Paul says he was given a thorn in his flesh. But what did he do about it? He says he was boasting, but right away he recognizes, he says, this is something that irritates me. But if we look at the passage, we right away see that Paul answers it himself for why he was given it. I was given it as a reminder to not boast. I was given it as a reminder of my weaknesses. So the question has to be asked, why? Why did Paul receive this from God? And quickly then the answer becomes a recognition that God didn't actually give Paul the thorn in his side. In the passage it says, I can't believe you know what, it's bugging me. I thought I wrote down the passage in front of me and I don't. I keep not quite quoting it, and I'm just going to correct that myself if you'll. My own preparations are failing me. Pardon me? Watch it. Yes, that's a thorn in my side. When you think you've done something and you haven't, as my father would always say, never assume it'll make something out of you and me. Okay, you never find it when you need it. Seriously. There we go. So it's 2 Corinthians 12, 7 to 10. That's the main passage. Keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassing great revelations. There was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. So right away he recognizes God didn't give him this thorn. Satan did. But just because he recognized it as something that was given to him doesn't mean he accepted it. Because right away in verse 8, we hear his response is first, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. Three times he begged God, please take this away. This is too much. Sound familiar? Who else pleaded three times for God to take something away? Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, take this cup from me. Three times he wanted it taken away, but just like Christ, at the end, when Christ said, if not, I'll accept this burden, Paul does the same thing. Three times I pleaded for the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. So whatever the thorn was, it's not something Paul wanted. He wanted it taken away, but when God answered no, he accepted it. He accepted it and actually looked to see how he could use it in his work. Because the way God answered him by saying, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness," is that answer is that I will give you what you need. Whatever your worries are about this thorn, whatever it is you think, oh, it's going to keep me from doing my job, it's going to keep me from being happy, it's all... No, I promise you it won't break you. I won't let it overcome you. I won't let it stop you. My grace is sufficient, and your power is made perfect in weakness. I will actually use it to do something amazing. And Paul, having heard that, recognized, okay, I'm stuck with this, but because of it, God will be praised. That's an amazing thing to realize, to actually accept a fault and say, I will boast about it, because that's what God wants me to do. Paul knew that it wouldn't keep him from doing God's work. He knew and he recognized God gave him this thorn to keep him from becoming conceited, to keep him from getting caught up in all the amazing work he had been doing. When you read his story, it's just a story of success after success. He was on the road to Damascus. He got this vision of God that no one else got. He had successes in town after town. There's a reason why they call Paul one of the greatest apostles and why a huge percentage of the New Testament was written by Paul. When you look at his career, it's full of successes, full of overcoming amazing odds, amazing things that were going against him, and he still ended up winning in the end. And he knew and he recognized, God made him recognize that if he let it, that could get to his head. And too often, I think, well, maybe hopefully not too often, but I'm sure we can all think of, sometimes you hear of people who get caught up in their successes. And they start out with nothing, but once they get successful, they can just become really hard to be around. They can let it get to their heads. And God didn't want that to happen to Paul. And Paul recognized that and was able to say, okay, God, I will accept this as to keep me humble. Paul was susceptible to the sin of pride, and he was conscious of his exceptional gifts, his privilege, and his influence, and accepted the thorn God gave him. So, that grace is sufficient. Paul recognized that he had to trust in God and that his weakness would make into the strength of that strength that he needed. And so that became the boasting. I will boast in my infirmities. Rather than bemoan his circumstance, he would glorify. And we just listened to that whole list of all the things he had to struggle with. And it became a boast because it was, look what I got through, and God's will was still done. We all have thorns in our side, whatever it may be. I could pull out a long list of the things about myself that I don't like, those things I wish I didn't have to face or struggle with. The one example I've chosen of many to talk about today is probably, if I had to say one thorn in my side, I think is a good example of the kind of thing I think Paul dealt with, it would be my ADD, my attention deficit disorder. I think it's a good example because while it's not a huge part of my life in the sense that it's not every day I have to overcome it, it's something that I'll always have. It's always there kind of as an irritation, but at the same time doesn't define who I am. It's something that still when it rears its head, can have a huge effect on me and on my ministry. Any of those I've had to work with in the church know I'm not always the most organized in person. And there are ways that sometimes I go, oh, I hate that I can't keep this all in order. Things would run so much easier. I could get more done if I could just didn't have this issue with being able to keep things organized. This ADD just sometimes frustrates me to no end. And I've certainly prayed to God before, please just take this away from me. I can do so much more of your work. I can do so much more for your kingdom without this thorn in my side. And like Paul, I've never heard the words such as Paul. I've definitely gotten a response with, no, you're going to deal with this. That it's not going to be taken away. I've come to that realization it's not something I can be healed from. And with that, over these long years, I've come to realize it's actually become a part of who I am. And for me now to think of not having it, I would left looking at, well, it's hard to picture myself without it. It's become such a part of the way I live my life. And in the same way, some good can come out of it, where you have the creativity, my ability to think out of the box, and sometimes my absolute silliness with my kids can all are attributed to that other side of my ADD that can be such an amazing gift to me sometimes. And so I look at it and I go, this thing that can be so, so hard can sometimes be such a blessing in terms of the gifts it gives and the ability that for me to stay in this job as a minister, I'm definitely going to have to rely on God because there's no way I can do this by myself. It's a thorn in my side that I can actually use to say, look what God can do with someone like me. Look what he can do with a church, with people like all of us. Because the truth is, I know every one of us has something in our lives that we don't like. Something about ourselves we wish we didn't have to deal with. Something we've prayed to God, Lord, please change this. Lord, take this away from me. I don't want to deal with this anymore. I want you to actually think for a second, if you haven't already, what would you say is a thorn in your side? What's a problem you struggle with? What's a sin that you just can't seem to overcome? Something that just seems to be holding you back in your life that you've prayed for God to take away. That thing in your life, that thing about yourself that you feel ashamed about, that you most likely keep hidden, that thing you don't want anyone to know about yourself or you try to limit. All of us has something about ourselves we don't like. I want you to think about that, even though it might make you uncomfortable. It might make you squirm in your seats, thinking of those things we don't like. But as you're thinking about it, I want you to now think about that thorn, that struggle, in relation to God, in relation to your relationship with God. How does it affect your relationship? How can God use it? Is there any good that comes from that thing you struggle with? Because God calls us to brokenness, not perfection. He calls us to relationships, not business and success. He calls us to grace, not success. Because the true power in what Paul's saying here is God's greatest work comes out of when we are at our weakness. We normally don't think of being strong in relation to weakness. We think we have to overcome weakness to be strong, but that's just not how God works. He knows that if we think we are strong in and of ourselves, then we'll become proud and self-sufficient. And when we feel that way, we are in reality weak and unable to accomplish much of anything except for thinking how cool and capable we are. God has a better plan. When he needs to accomplish really great things through us, through our church, he sometimes needs to get our twisted view of ourselves out of the way. So he takes Satan's intrusion into our lives and he beats Satan at his own game. Because what you see as a thorn, God sees as an opportunity and a triumph. Truth is, we need to stop looking at those things about ourselves we wish weren't there and that we feel shameful about. Those things that we want to hide. We need to embrace the fact that we're not perfect and we never will be. And I'm sure there's something we've all heard many times again, but how often do we live that? We say, oh, yeah, of course I'm not perfect, but then we still hide those parts that aren't perfect. We don't embrace them enough. The truth is, good things can come out of imperfections, things better than we can imagine. We can feel guilty for our mistakes, but we need to stop transferring that guilt into shame. And this is something I personally struggle with all the time, allowing guilt to turn into shame. I make mistakes all the time on a daily basis. But the real issue comes when I allow that guilt to then decide how I view myself. See, there's an important difference between guilt and shame. Guilt is feeling bad about an action. Shame is feeling bad about ourselves. And it's so easy to go from one to the other. Think, I made the mistake. It was my fault. That means I'm a bad person. I can't seem to stop doing this. I am horrible. I'm ashamed of myself. Satan loves doing that to us. He loves making us ashamed because shame doesn't move us forward. Guilt can help, you know, push us to be better, but shame just holds us back. See, he's just saying, hate the sin, don't hate the sinner. It's true for other people and it's true for yourself. Hate your sin, don't hate you, the sinner. We all have things in our lives we hate, that things that we aren't proud of, but don't let those things define who you are. Don't let the thorn in your side tell you what your limitations are. My ADD isn't who I am, and it will always be a struggle, but it can also be a way for God to work amazing things. In the end, my prayer today is that whatever that thorn is in your side, I want you to one day through prayer be able to look at it the way this one old woman looks at her thorn. And it's a cute little story of this little old Sunday school teacher. She was old and she was kind of hobbled and crippled over and she couldn't get around much, but she kept teaching Sunday school long after everyone thought she would have to stop. And one day the pastor asked her if, you know, maybe I know it's getting hard for you to go down the stairs to keep walking with the kids. Do you think you may need to retire and take it easy a little bit? And she replied, Pastor, God made me small and he bent me over this way so that I can be right down there where the little kids are. If I wasn't like this, I couldn't relate to them so well and it would be more work to get down to their level. The way I see it, God's taken half the work for me getting down to play with them. She took this thorn in the flesh and she saw how some good could be taken from it. The same is true for the thorn in your side. There's good to become from it.